All right. Hello. Welcome to the Dr. Kirsten Show. I am Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and today I have a guest with me. Nettie is here, and she's going to introduce herself and give a little bit of her background, and then we are going to dive into all the things. So go ahead and take it away.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm
Yes.
Nettie. I'm online known as Nettie Nonstop. I know it's kind of a silly name, but there's a long story to it. I'm a dietitian and becoming an endurance athlete currently myself, and I'm also a sports photographer. So I help a lot of men and women, but mostly women with their body image journey and becoming more confident in the frame that they were given and learning how to become the strongest version of themselves and becoming more confident with strength and nutrition.
And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about today. So, I thought maybe where we could start was recently on Instagram, you had a post go viral, which is like funny, kind of, but like the story though that you shared and what was going on around it, I thought was a really, really powerful message. So, I'd like to kind of lean into that today. Let's start off with like the nutrition. Actually, no, what? Let's start with the story first, and then we'll get to nutrition as we go. But you started running. You mentioned you're leaning more into the endurance world, but you started running in 2019. What was going on in your life at that time? And feel free to share as much background as you want that kind of prompted you to want to start running, and like what was going on in your world at that time.
I mean, it's kind of a funny story how I got started. So I moved to Arizona. My husband at the time was starting dental school. And so I moved there, and there was this gal in my apartment complex that I met at church, and she got my number. And one night at like 9 o'clock at night, she goes, "Hey, I'm doing my longest run for my marathon tomorrow morning. Do you want to join me?"
Oh gosh,
And
on the longest run.
I was like, "How long is this?" And she's like, "20 miles." And I'm not kidding. I was on my knees praying that night, like, "Please help me survive this." I had never ran more than 4 miles at that up to that point. We got to 18, and I mean, we both had to go. We had things to do that day, so we had to cut it off at 18, but I remember walking away from that and being like, I didn't think my body could do that because I've had a history of being a sprinter and a soccer player and doing rugby. Like, I was not an endurance athlete by any means. But it was just, that's where it started. And she said, "If you can run 18 miles without training, you can do a marathon."
Oh, for sure.
And I was like, "I never even considered that." Okay. So then I signed up for the Phoenix Marathon the next spring, and I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I was completely alone in this. I didn't even understand how the bus system worked that buses you up to the
Oh
start.
yeah. Oh yeah.
So I knew nothing. I had no nutrition. I had nothing. And I remember the morning of the marathon, I'm driving. I accidentally slept in.
Oh no.
So I'm rushing to where it says to park. And then I see the last bus pull out. And I see a bunch of, I'm like, maybe that's where I'm supposed to go. So I pull in the parking lot, and the security people are like, "You just missed the last bus." I'm like, "Oh my gosh." So I'm chasing the bus, and
Oh my goodness.
it was horrifying. And I got up, like, somehow you're not supposed to get up there with a car, but somehow they let me up there. I parked like on the side of the road in the desert and like went to the start.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. That's amazing.
And I got to the finish, and I don't know, it was a mess. It was like pure, I think it helped me actually, because it was just pure adrenaline at that point. And I did it, and then I was like, I have to figure out a way to get back to my car now. So that was my first marathon experience. And I don't know, there was just something about it that I fell in love with. And I would say I definitely was very insecure in my body at that time. And I remember just feeling big and looking around at everybody else and being like, I don't belong here. Just feeling so uncomfortable in my body. And after that, I went through a phase where I was like, if I'm going to do marathons, I need to get smaller. And I kind of struggled with that for a while, like feeling like I needed to look different in order to fit into that. And it wasn't that I was necessarily like having an eating disorder, but it was like I definitely worried about it. I definitely worried about eating bread and all of the carbs. And then around that time, I went to school to become a dietitian and learned about all these things. And I fixed all of my own struggles with nutrition as I was being educated about the chemistry of nutrition in our bodies. So at the time, I was in a very tough place in my marriage, if you will. I was young. I got married at 19, and I never really had a chance to find myself, if you will. And I went into this marriage, kind of pushed into it, if you will. And I feel like running was kind of my. It filled in a lot of gaps for me because when I initially went to college, my goal was to become a professional soccer player. And I gave up everything to be in this marriage. I was, anyway, that's a whole nother story. But I felt completely lost as an athlete. Like I felt like I gave up everything and I felt completely lost and I felt like a failure as an athlete. And so getting into running was kind of that kickstart of, all right, soccer is probably not in the cards for you anymore, but let's try something else. So that kind of kickstarted the, you can try different things later in life and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, there's so many people. Well, I love that, first off. Second, there's so many people that start, like my dad did his first triathlon with me. He was 60 something, which is just awesome. So it doesn't really matter what age you are, but you can do it. So kind of leaning into that a little bit more, a few things that I kind of wanted to talk about is that, I think one of the things you mentioned, one of the cool things I think about our journeys, right, is that we kind of get presented with like the problems that we have, and then we have this opportunity usually to learn what we need to learn that will help us kind of get along in that journey. Like you went to school for nutrition. But I think also too, some other things that can tend to happen is that a lot of people will be focusing on like the nutrition piece and then like the exercise piece and training and all that jazz, and they'll be doing a lot of things, but their environment will still be not conducive to them shifting. One of you mentioned there, you don't, and you can choose how deep you want to go into this, but at the time that you were starting to do all these, make all these shifts and changes by going to school and all that and starting to run, when did you, at the time, or was it maybe more like looking back, when did you know that there was kind of a piece going on there that was kind of going on in your mindset, like your like how kind of the environment of where you were in your marriage at that time was kind of contributing to how you were feeling about like your body and about yourself and all of those pieces.
I mean, it was very slow. I mean, when you're in an environment that's unhealthy and you don't feel like you belong, you sometimes you kind of make things up in your head that the problem is you. And so you try to fix yourself to fit, but that doesn't always work. And so I started by being like, well, is it just me or is there something else to this puzzle that's not working? And so one thing that really was big for me was, I mean, I was a people pleaser, no doubt about it. And I found myself feeling burnt out a lot because I never said no. And I found myself getting angry. And so I started standing up for myself and saying no when I didn't want to do something and setting boundaries. And it was amazing once I started setting boundaries with the relationships in my life, I felt a lot more connected to myself and I felt more energetic and I felt clear in my head. And so I would say that was a big starting point for me was, yes, creating a routine around running and doing things with my body, but also clearing out unhealthy relationships in my life. And whether that was family, which is never easy, or friends, or I mean, a big one is I'm a big person on trying to keep connections for a long time. And I found that, like, why am I keeping this connection with this person when they obviously don't care about me? So I would say more so just consolidating my energy on people that I feel like genuinely loved me back and put in the same energy that I was giving. And that was a big thing for me was filtering out healthy relationships in my life. And then that led into my environment and relationship parts of my relationship that I didn't like and that I wanted to change. And I know I'm kind of going off on a
No,
tangent,
you're
but
great. You're great. It's great.
I think, I mean, there's so many layers to it for everybody, right? It's never just one thing that's off. And I would say if you're a people pleaser, you have to learn to set boundaries. And you're not a mean person. You have to protect yourself first. And if people don't understand that, or they call you names and say that you're bipolar, I mean, I got called all kinds of things. I'm like, I'm not bipolar, but okay. There's nothing wrong with you. It's okay to stand up for yourself. And all of those things impact the way that your body functions internally. If you don't clear out the unhealthy things around you, whether it's people or events or literally clutter in your house or things in your fridge that you're eating, it's going to eat you from the inside out. And sometimes it comes out in ways that's weight gain or acne or stomach pain or just chronic stress. Sometimes it comes out in your blood work. Like your body manifests in all different ways. And you have to very, very slowly vet all those things out that are making you chaotic from the inside out.
One of the things that I realized when I started working with clients in like functional medicine was that there came a point where I distinctly remember being like, okay, there has to be something else that's going on here that is beyond just like nutrition and supplements and reading people's blood work and like there I couldn't figure out why how some of these people were literally eating the cleanest I've ever, like, cleanest, I'll do that in quotation marks, but like literally so well, if you wanted to put it that way, and doing so many things. I mean, they had the like best sleep routines I might have ever seen. They like, and training, like, you, like, they had so many things that they were doing that you on the outside, you would have looked at it and been like, oh, this person must be like doing great. And then they had like all this, the internal like space of what was going on inside of their body was everywhere. I mean, like from chronic pain to autoimmune disease to gut stuff to migraines, I mean, it was like all over the place. And I couldn't figure out why this was happening. And then I started realizing like, oh, there's like anxiety here, like, oh, there's people pleasing patterns here, like, oh, there's perfectionism patterns here, like, oh, there's all of this other stuff. And like their body is in like complete survival mode. And that's when I started realizing there was a lot more going on there. And that was like a very large piece of why people weren't necessarily getting the results that they were looking for, even though they were doing everything that, like, you know, you could think of.
Yeah, that's definitely a misnomer within the health world, is people hyper focus on the nutrition and the exercise, but miss the mind and the soul and the spirit part.
Yep.
It's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure we give nutrition advice every day, and that's great. But like, I only like to give nutrition advice so far until I'm like, how's your home life?
Yep.
Because those things play an immense role in our health and longevity and our mindset and how everything functions. Your body remembers everything, and
Yep.
you can't outrun it. And I felt like for a long time, that's what, at least with the start of my running journey, and I felt like I was trying to outrun everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't.
Mm-hmm. Funny how it manifested as actually running.
I'll start somewhere.
I love it. Like quite literally trying to run from, but you know, it's funny though, because I feel like that's also why, like, I had a specific goal of wanting to be an Ironman. Like, I, like, that was something I decided a long time before then that I wanted to do that in my life. But also I was trying to use that as a way to like process and address a lot of things that like cannot be processed and addressed through exercise.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. It doesn't work. And I ended up just adding on like so much more to an already, like you mentioned, burnout. Like I ended up adding so much more onto like a completely burned out situation that it led to a lot of problems with my health that I then had to mop up and address afterwards. But it's funny how it like the choices that we make sometimes are almost like, I mean, I was quite literally trying just similar scenario of like trying to run from problems and trying to find things that just in the wrong places. But yes, you're right. You have to start somewhere.
Yeah. Better than drugs, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
Or different extremes. I mean,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the mind and the soul, it's hard to know where to start. I mean, even with Ironman training, it's all daunting. It's hard to know,
yes,
where to start.
Oh yeah, I immediately got a coach. To anyone out there that's listening that's like, how would I even start that? I got a coach, like, yeah, immediately. Immediately. Like, I know plenty of people that found, you know, like online training programs and did it that way. But I just knew, I was like, nope. Nope. I'm going to need someone that is like there, that especially to keep me accountable. Because like, I mean, I came from a CrossFit background before that. So like, and I had hardly been on a bike since I had like an accident when I was a teenager, and like just I was not a swimmer, and I was also definitely not a runner. So like going into that, I was like, yeah, this is I don't think I can just do an online program and expect that I'm actually going to be successful with this.
Being an Ironman sounds great, but logistically,
yeah,
bad idea.
Yeah, but it really was such an amazing. I will go back to triathlon at some point. But it was such a great thing that really taught me a lot about like how much we can do, even when we're not good at any of those things. Like you can really do a lot. It's kind of cool, you know. You get to learn a lot about yourself through this kind of stuff. But, gosh, where to go with this? I would love to just shift into nutrition because that's what you talk about. And I would love for people to find you if that's what they are looking for and that's what they need. Another part of your transformation, we'll call it, is you made a shift from being vegan to eating the way you do now, which is I think if I was seeing that correctly, you do eat meat, you kind of eat everything at this point. Can you talk about some of the things that you noticed, like what kind of prompted that shift? Where were you kind of at before then, and then what did you notice going through that to kind of where you are now?
Yeah, so I started with being vegan, I mean about the time I started running, way back,
okay,
2018, 2019-ish. And I mean, what started it was I was struggling with acne, and I never had acne as a teenager. And then suddenly, once I hit my 20s, it was like it was so bad where I would go to work and like I would try to cover it up with makeup, and my coworkers would be like, "What is that?" And I'm like, oh, it's a spider bite. Like I would say it was a spider bite. It was like cystic acne. It was so embarrassing. Mm. And I talked to a friend who had been vegan for a while. And she was like, just try cutting out dairy for a while and see how you feel. And I did for about 2 weeks. And a lot of I had bloating. I was tired all the time at the time as well, not just the acne. I had other symptoms, but that all like went away. Not entirely, but it was a lot better. And then once I started eating dairy again, it came back.
Right.
And then my family and my mom's side has a history of gut issues, and I happened to get that. And then I did some testing and I was lactose intolerant. So that's where it started. And it was like, well, if I'm going to be lactose intolerant and not eat dairy, I might as well just go the whole way.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was very, and I still am sometimes, but back then I was a lot more like all or nothing. Like if I'm going to do this, I might as well just do it all. So that's where it started, is I just tried it. Just wanted to see if I felt better, because I was just tired of feeling like crap all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was a lot in my life that I was literally out running, and I thought I could outrun some of that with eating vegan as well. So I did that for about 4 years. And then I mean, 2 years ago, I stopped running and I started focusing more on like weightlifting and power type stuff. And I was just feeling sick all the time. I was struggling with like nausea and just feeling like I needed to drink sparkling water or ginger all the time. Like my stomach was just not right. And I could tell my body had a ton of inflammation. I was just puffy all the time. I mean, guaranteed, yes, I weighed more at the time, but I like there's a distinct difference between puffiness and weighing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just tell there was something off. So About the time I started running again, I started adding in like eggs and fish, and very slowly started adding in like red meat and chicken. If you're gonna do this, like you have to take it slow. One, a texture thing, and two, your body's just not used to digesting it. And so, I mean, obviously, I'm still lactose intolerant, so I still have to do the dairy-free butter. But I also was eating a lot of, when I was vegan, I was eating a lot of plant-based replacements, which, as a dietitian, like you know it's not good for you. Like, you know the ingredients are not great, but sometimes you just get so tired of eating roasted, you know, and you want something more savory and heavy, and so many salads and wraps you can eat before you're just like, I'm not satiated. And so I was eating a lot of the meat replacements at the time, and all these, you know, dairy-free milks and things. And so I started cutting those out about the time I was starting to add meat and eggs and things in. And I distinctly remember after I had my first hamburger, I felt like a new person. And I remember I was so nervous to eat red meat again. That was the first time I had red meat. And I remember getting it, and Mark, my boyfriend, was sitting there giggling because I'm like, I swear last time I had a hamburger. He's like, just eat it. I'm like, okay. And I mean, obviously it takes time to get into your system, but within days I was like, wow, maybe I was anemic and didn't even realize it. It just didn't come up on my blood work. Like, I felt like a new person. And it seemed like my inflammation, obviously, it takes time. It took months for it to go away. But eventually, my nausea went away. My inflammation went way, way down. And I felt just so much more energetic. I didn't feel like I was in the clouds all the time. It was amazing. I mean, I loved being vegan for the time I was vegan, but it just came a point where my body was like, you need animal protein.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was like really great too about that and what you spoke to a bit was that really what it came down to was like listening to your body. And like that was that I think that's the thing that I keep seeing the most is that we're like well, no, I see a lot of things to be perfectly honest, but like one of the things that I see a lot is that it seems like people kind of get stuck in like, well, the internet said this is this thing now, so like now I should be doing that thing, and then they get kind of lost in like, well, but like my friend and my neighbor said to like do this thing, and then kind of get lost in this like looking at everything else and not really paying attention to how they actually feel, which is something that I think you have talked to already like very well on this episode, and you do also on your Instagram and all that too. Just that like it's so critical to listen to how you're feeling and what you feel is best for you. Any more thoughts
Yeah,
on that?
it's interesting because, I mean, being in the nutrition world, it's interesting how people just want a number for everything. They just put a number on how much I should eat and when I should eat and how many days a week I should eat this. Yes, there are numbers involved when it comes to nutrition. But at some point, you have to connect your mind and your gut and the rest of your body. And, you know, yes, it takes time to learn how much and when and what works for you. And if you're lost, you should ask for help. But don't get so stuck on that. because every day is different. Every week of the month, especially for women, is different.
Yep.
And every age is different. And you have to pay attention to the changes that your body is going through. And we're so disconnected from our bodies. I mean, we're so connected to everything around us, every device around us, every network and social media platform. But that's one thing I would say that we've lost is paying attention to how our body is feeling.
Yeah.
And it's really sad, and it's hard to learn as an adult. It takes time, and people expect their bodies to change so quickly, but they just don't. Like, you
Yeah.
have to keep going. It's a tough thing to learn.
Yeah. And that, like, I think it's also from like the like women, female perspective, like it's also tough because you do the whole puberty thing and then you kind of get set in things that work for you for a little bit. And then you go through this other shift like midway through your life and then things look differently. And then you like there's some things that you did eat that maybe now aren't so great and they don't, you know, there's so many changes I think that happen along the way that it can be tough. It can be tough to figure all those pieces out and stick with it for long enough to see it out and see it through versus kind of just give up, which is common. But yeah.
Yeah. Daunting. It can
Daunting.
be.
Yep. Yeah. I love all of this. I also love that you talked about where you were at too with the like kind of all or nothing pattern. I mean, you said I usually like if you have that pattern, it shows up somewhere in most cases. But I think that was really great though that you talked to that because like just being aware of our patterns is one of the ways that we can really get a lot of like data around like where like why we don't have solutions for certain problems that we have in our life. And it really is like the patterns are really where it's at. And I always think it's very interesting. Now kind of looking back and with like how you eat now, what was something that you noticed shifted that allowed you to kind of have a little bit more flexibility in like the way that you eat versus kind of having this like all or nothing, like it's got to be this way or nothing else?
Yeah, I mean, there was a long time where I tracked what I was eating and how much. And I mean, given that I do a lot of nutrition calculations and I do help people figure out a range of numbers. So I've been able to kind of put a number to things. So when I'm making my own food, I know, okay, this is about 18 grams of protein. Like I can eyeball it in a sense where I've learned, you know, how much certain things are. And not to say that I track it now. I try to eat slow and I try to listen to what my body needs day to day. So I would say I try to eat most of my calories earlier in the day. So
yep.
Morning and until lunchtime. And I mean, I eat dinner, but I try not to eat a huge dinner. And I mean, in some days, my body just wants pretzels right before bed. Like your body changes. And I would say it's just been becoming an endurance athlete has been a shift too in allowing myself to eat bread again and not feel fear and frustration around that and eating things like rice. It's about repetition. And you mentioned that we have these cycles And especially once you get over 30, you have these habit cycles that are very hard to break. And so, in order to create new connections and create new habits around your nutrition, you have to recreate those habit cycles. And I struggled with binge eating when I was vegan, and I wasn't getting enough calories. And so I struggled with binge eating, and that was something that I had to learn to break, eating animal protein again, not necessarily because I wasn't getting enough food, but because it was a habit. I would just sit down and eat mindlessly. And so doing simple things of like pouring things into a little bowl so I could see how much I was eating versus just grabbing the bag because you don't have any idea what you're eating. So sometimes it helps to put a visual to a number so you can kind of get an idea of quantities of things. That's been very helpful for me.
There were so many helpful like tips and points there. Like I did macros and like putting numbers to things for a long time. And I do feel like when you have that knowledge of what things gen this and this is something that I will often talk to people about is like especially if they're resistant to doing macros or counting things. But the point being that every once in a while too, it's really helpful to just kind of revisit because it really can show you what you are eating and how much you're eating of everything. And it is amazing how many things can like sneak their way in when you don't even realize it. And then you get a lot of answers from that. But you do learn over time when you've done it for long enough what generally things look like. And that's, I do think that is one way that is very effective for people, whether they're wanting to maintain or gain muscle or lose fat or lose weight, like whatever that looks like, counting can be so helpful, as far as just knowing what you're eating. So I think that was a really, really good point. And definitely something to I also the thing that I noticed about that as well though is and is I'll point people to you is that it's really helpful to have a coach when you're going through a lot of that. 'Cause like as you mentioned, there's a lot of like mindset stuff that goes along with that too. And changing those habits can be hard. There and that's again like another reason why I focus so much now on habit change with the subconscious mind is just because it can be a little bit easier, but you still have to like do the things. You still have to do the work. You can't just like shift. I can't necessarily say that, but the habits do get a lot easier when you have both, when you have something to do and you have that mindset support. But it definitely those patterns, it takes both for sure. Awesome. Do you have anything that you would like? I mean, as far as like nutrition goes, you and I could probably dive in. I wanted to really focus on that piece of like your story and how that was going, but I know that you and I could definitely probably talk on like gut stuff and all of those things for another hour. But like as it comes to nutrition, is there anything that you feel like you want people to know, nutrition or even I know you do a lot of strength training and you have some programs coming out for runners as well. Is there anything that you kind of want to leave people with as far as all of those things go?
Ooh, so many ways to take this.
I know.
I would say with whether it's nutrition or training or mindset, ask for help. And there's absolutely no shame in accepting that you don't know something and that you need help with something. But with nutrition, it just be patient and try things for a while and see how you feel. And if you don't feel great, try something else. But don't copy. I would say the biggest thing is do not go and copy other people. That drives me nuts when people do the what I eat in a day. Do not copy that, because I guarantee you that's not all they eat in a day. And I guarantee you that's not what their food looks like every day. And that's one thing that I refuse to do for my community, is do what I eat in a day. I think it's nonsense and it's not helpful, because what works for me may not work for you. And then for, I would say for training, I mean, you got to figure out what you're training for first.
Yes.
You got to have some direction. And if you have no idea, find something. And yes, I'm putting together my strength training that I do for my running. I'm gonna make it public so you can have access to my strength training. This is routines. These are routines that I've put together myself that work for me, that have fixed my own little quirks with my uneven strength in each leg, and my core. So I'm gonna make that public. If you're a runner that's wanting to get stronger and wanting to even things out, this could be helpful for you.
I love
It's
that. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you, Nettie, for everything. This was an amazing you well, I think that everybody has an amazing story. I love that you were willing to share yours with us today. And we will make sure that I will make sure that everybody has links for everything for you so they can find you. And well, thank you everybody for being here. We will see you next time with the next episode. Take care.